All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, April 25th of 2025, and looking ahead here, we have a 12-game MLB main slate tonight, huge slate over in the MLB streets. We have a 3-game NBA main slate in the NHL streets. We have a 3-game main slate as well. We had an early game. That's actually tomorrow. 3-game main slate over in the NHL streets. We do not have trucks today, but there will be Xfinity and Cup race this weekend for NASCAR. And over in the UFL streets, there is a 8 p.m. Eastern 4-game main slate for UFL. So plenty of DFS action coming at you all weekend here. For those of you who are new, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. It is Friday, so we do have our Build a Review show today. Got a couple people signed up. That will be going live in about an hour at 5 p.m. Eastern as well. So looking forward to that. But in the meantime, let's get SaberSim pulled up and let's jump into questions. So we did have one question come in ahead of the show from Jelly Bean here. And let's go over to this 12-game MLB main slate. Let this load. All right. And we'll refresh projections just since this update just came in. Got a little cooler slate today with the Reds and Rockies. Always interesting. All right. But either way, let's let me read that again. I turned correlation all the way up for baseball last night and did well. Can we discuss about where it should be or where you think it should be for basketball? Yeah, so that's awesome that you had success with it. What I will say is that our slider defaults, you know, where they are automatically, is what we believe are the best values for them based on our contest back testing. So kind of like the bigger the slate, the higher the correlation is going to be. And then the lower, the smaller the slate, the less games, the lower the correlation is going to be. Because as you have less and less games on the slate, you kind of need to move closer and closer to having an optimal lineup. So the impact of correlation gets a little bit smaller. You don't want to amplify it as much, right? Because what the correlation slider is doing is it is taking the raw correlations that players have, and it is amplifying them by 2x, by 3x, by 4x. Think of it kind of like that. When you simply build at zero correlation, there is still correlation in the play-by-play sim, which is what you see here when you click on somebody, right? This is the raw play-by-play correlation for the players, right? Logan Gilbert is going to be correlated to his batters because there are points for win bonuses, right? So that's going to matter. And then Logan Gilbert is going to be negatively correlated to opposing hitters because when they get hits, that's negative points for him. When they score runs, that's negative points for him, right? So, and then also when he strikes them out, that's good for him, that's bad for them. So there's all kinds of things that come into play with the correlation. But as far as where it should be comparing baseball to basketball, you kind of got to understand how players correlate to each other, right? So like if we go and look at two batters in a lineup, and we go click on Aaron Judge, for example, right? All right, let's see if Judge loads. Gilbert just loaded fine, tried Duran. All right, whenever this happens to me, hard refresh typically works. So we'll reload this. And Slate is coming back now. All right, let's go back to batters. Try Judge again. Okay, cool. So we see Judge, right? Now, look at his correlation values, okay? So 0.13, 0.13, 0.1, 0.9, 0.8. So we see like double-digit batter correlations. We see high single-digit. And then we saw really, really negative for the pitchers, right? We saw like negative 0.34, negative 0.33. So what that tells you is that MLB as a sport is highly, highly correlative, if that's a word. So players correlate to each other very, very much, and it's very, very impactful to lineups. Now, if we go over to basketball here, right? So one, we saw the default correlation for baseball on a 12-game slate was 10, right? Okay, default correlation on a 3-game slate for basketball is 0. Now, if we go and look at the player correlations, right? We go and pull up, say, Giannis here. Okay, he has, interestingly, very... So very quickly, this comes down. You know, Judge had like 0.13, 0.13, 0.1, 0.09, right? There's only one person at 0.1, and then it drops to 0.03, 0.02. And then on the negative side, it does get down a little bit. It gets down to like negative 0.19, but it doesn't get as far as like, say, like what kind of Gilbert was having. So what this tells you, right, is that there is some correlation in basketball, but there's not nearly as much as there is in like baseball. And then the other thing is that the team correlations aren't as strong. These are more opposing teams, right? Halliburton and Giannis go back and forth, right? High scoring type of thing. But Lillard is 0.02. He is the first Milwaukee teammate Giannis has, and his teammate correlations are actually really low here, right? The other way of thinking about it, at the negative side, right, is some of the players on his own team, like negative 0.19. And it's like, well, why kind of is that, right? It's like, well, you know, Jericho Sims is like a bench player. And if this game blows out, you know, Giannis is going to sit, he's going to play. There are situations like in the sim that are like blowout situations that significantly help Sims. And then, you know, Giannis is like off the court, right? So they correlate very, very poorly. This is why stacking in basketball is not as important as a sport like baseball. So we, again, put the sliders where we think they should be. Now, it doesn't mean you can't adjust it, you know, if you want to impact that. I will say a common basketball rule, it's like kind of a heuristic that a lot of people use, is setting a rule that says use no more than 3 players per team. And they're actually limiting stacks in this instance because basketball is kind of a different type of sport, right? Like, let's say that Luka has the ball. Well, every shot Luka takes is a shot that LeBron doesn't take. In baseball, right, imagine, okay, Judge gets a hit. Every time Judge gets... Say that again. You know, Judge getting a hit actually helps everybody in the lineup to get more bats. Now, if Luka takes a shot and makes it, that does not mean there are going to be now additional possessions or additional shots that benefit LeBron toward the end of the game. You know, it doesn't extend the game, right? Hits extend games. Shots made in NBA do not extend games. So that's like another way of thinking about it. There's just kind of like a finite number of like shots or possessions in basketball. Whereas with baseball, you know, you can extend the game for as many times as you can get on base. So that's like another reason correlation is less impactful in a sport like basketball. But those are the biggest differences there. So if you want to mess around with it, I really wouldn't recommend this, probably just like in general, you know, if you want to mess with sliders, I would say like to be careful, you know, only move them like 1 or 2 ticks in either direction. If you're at 8, you know, go up to 10. If you're at 8, you want to go down to 6, like, okay. But like going from like 8 to 4, going from like 8 to 3, you know, this is like highly, highly impactful. So I would just be more cautious with doing something like that. So those are my biggest pointers here in regards to correlation slider and just kind of thoughts on correlation across different type of sports. But again, very good question and happy to cover it. All right. Good question to get us started there. That was our first and only question. So you know what? Kind of with all this like correlation talk and stuff, why don't we run an NBA build here and just kind of talk about it? So for FanDuel, which I'm on right now, you actually don't need to make two adjustments to projections. So that seems good. I'm going to just run 500 lineups here. You know, I'd probably still consider boosting minimum salary a little bit. You know, we are not in the regular season anymore. So, and especially the end of the regular season with, you know, all kinds of players playing and being out, you know, teams are taking these games very, very serious. Stars are getting a lot more minutes and usage. So I don't think we need to get too weird with our salary here. So I'm just going to boost the floor a little bit to 56,000, which I think is a good number, all things considered. All right. So, lineups built, contest sim ran. That's all good. Now I want to sort by exposure, just moving a couple columns around. So, I'm sorting by the contest. That is just the default contest sim here. And I have an average projection, average ROI aggregate metric. Let's say we're building 20 lineups. Okay, sorting by exposure. Now, let's just like go look at the stacks like right away, okay? So we come in here. So see, this is like, this is kind of what you expect. Like we saw, you know, there was some correlation here, right? So we're going to see some stacks, but we're going to see a lot of smaller stacks, right? We're seeing 2-2-2-2, 2-2-2, 3-2-2-2, 3-2-2-3-3-3, 4-2, 3-3-2, 4-3-2. So that is 6, 9, 12, 14, 16, 18, 19, 20. So, you know, it is a three-game slate, so it's like a little bit more expected. But what I think is important here, right, is that all of our lineups have at least one stack. And as a matter of fact, we can look at the no stacks column. Am I blocking it? Yeah, I am. Okay, let me move. So there's no stacks column. There's actually zero lineups in our pool that are a no stack. And actually, I think that's actually impossible on this slate because there are only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams, and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players in a lineup. So at least you're going to have at least a two stack in every lineup, possibly from multiple teams, just based on the number of teams here. So that point doesn't make like a ton of sense. You would need 10 teams on the slate, you know, or like 5 games to potentially have like a no stacked lineup. But we do see the stacks are generally smaller, right? There's one or there's 3 lineups out of our 20 that have a 4 stack in them, but most of them are 2 stacks, 3 stacks, kind of that size. So correlation's being counted for, but the builder is not jamming those type of lineups in at the highest rate. And then if we just sort by pool exposure, our first 4 stack is about 5% of our pool. So overall, probably less than like 15% here. All right. Good stuff there. So just kind of talking about the correlation aspects of these lineups. Question came in while we were doing that. I Am Rice said, if I am importing projections slash ownership, should I rebuild field lineups from those or take the pre-built field and change the projections to the same or leave the field lineups alone? Okay, good question. So the biggest thing here, and this came up recently for an NBA showdown contest. Now, I will actually answer this two different ways. If you are playing showdowns, I would definitely rebuild the fields using your custom ownership. So what I would do is, you know, you come in, you upload your custom ownership, via the upload player projections. The ownership goes into the my own column. And then I would go to the gear icon here. And then I would use the generate field from ownership button. Okay. Now, the reason I definitely recommend doing it for showdowns is because you might run into a situation, and I saw this the other day, where somebody was getting really, really high exposure to two players, to DeAndre Jordan and to Zeke Najee in the flex or utility position. And they were kind of wondering, like, hey, you know, why am I seeing such high ROIs? Why am I seeing such high exposure to these players? And then I looked, they were using custom projections, but they were using the SaberSim fields. Well, it just so happens that we didn't have projections for those players. We didn't expect them to get in the game. And even though their projections for those players were very, very small, like 1 point, 1.5 points, well, when nobody else in the field is playing those players according to our sim, because we have them at zero, so they're not in the field lineups, they actually become a good play. So in that case, they were getting jammed in 30%, 40%, yeah, something in that range, right? So if your custom projections are projecting players that we do not have a projection for, then you definitely want to rebuild the fields so those players get into them so your contest sim results can be more accurate, okay? So that's for showdown. Now, in classic, right, if this was like a three-game slate like we're looking at tonight, well, players projected for 0 points and 1 point, you know, aren't really going to be super impactful. So in this case, it's okay to just upload your projections and then sim against the SaberSim field. Now, you know, you can still use custom field if you want, but I think that in classic slates, using the SaberSim fields to sim against is still a fine option, but showdown can be so just kind of fragile to minor changes in projection and ownership that I would use the ownership projections that are related to the fantasy point projections that you are choosing to use for those formats. So those are my opinions there. Again, another good question. All right. Getting back to this demo. So we're sorting right. We got our aggregate metrics. We've looked at the correlation aspects of these NBA lineups. Now it's about time to start making some adjustments, right? So I'm going to start with uniques going from 1 to 2. 1 to 2 is kind of impactful, right? Projection dropped like 1.3, 1.5 points, something like that. ROI didn't drop as much, maybe like 13%. Not so bad. I would try to go one more. You know, we can kind of expect to get to a lower number of uniques here in general, but I get to 3. A little more projection, not very much lost, a little more ROI lost. I would try 4. You know, 4 is like a bigger jump, right? Now we're down like 3 points projection total. We're down like 60, 70% ROI. You got to figure out, you know, what are the big differences between 3 and 4 and, you know, how much do they matter to you, right? So I get 3. We have Giannis at 90% exposure. And then at 4, we have him at 70% exposure. So Builder just seems to really like him as like a pay-up option. And it seems like as our Giannis exposure is going down, our ROI is going down as well. Now, if you're like, hey, 90% exposure is just too much for me, then cool. You know, stick with 4. Feel comfortable with the trade-off you're making there. But if you want to, you know, if 90% versus 70%, you're like, it's most of my lineups anyways, you feel good about this play, then go back up to 3 and maintain the higher exposure, higher leverage, and higher aggregate metrics. But at this point, it's just kind of a risk call. You got to figure out what really speaks to you and how you want your lineups to look. And, you know, you could look at some of the other players as well. They were a little less impactful when we moved from like 3 to 4. we saw like, I saw somebody go from like 30% leverage to like 26. We did see a 31 to 20, right? So this four does get flatter for some of the other pieces around. Now, if you're like, hey, this looks a lot better to me, I like four, then I'd say stick with four. You know what I mean? But you got to kind of just adjust it to your risk tolerance and figure out what you're comfortable with, right? The most important thing is submitting a set of lineups that you feel good about. You know, you don't want to be like uneasy, like, ah, I don't know. You know, this makes me really nervous. I'm going to submit it and fine. You know, if you're telling yourself those things, chances are that, you know, you're too leveraged somewhere on the slate, and it is better to manage your risk and to sacrifice some more ROI from this pre-slate ROI to do so. You know, I think that's super important is, you know, regardless of how these lineups do, I really like these lineups. I'm happy with them. So hopefully they work out. You know, that's kind of where you want to end up before you submit your lineups. So I would keep, you know, those words and that mindset in the back of your mind when you're making your last final adjustments to your projections. So that'd be my advice there. But other than that, you know, I'd be ready to save these lineups and upload them to our contest. I think that, you know, we've built some good lineups here, and I'd be ready to rock and roll. All right. Other than that, we knocked out the questions in the YouTube chat and Discord. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back in about 35 minutes for the build review show here. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.